Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Why does art matter? Let's go in-depth with Professor Matt Kelly and a few of his art students at Central College. Well, Matt, I sort of interrupted a printmaking class, but it looked like you all were having fun.
Yes, we were enjoying it quite a bit. We've done some stone lithography and plate lithography. We're into plate now. We'll be moving to relief printing on the class. It's a printmaking one, which is the lithography and relief workshop. So we concentrate on just those two techniques in there. We've given students five projects to work on, and they decide which medium they want to use for each project.
Can you give us like a 30-second rundown on the different media?
Sure. The stone lithography is probably the earliest form. It's a slab of limestone polished to a very smooth surface. It's receptive to grease, so we draw on it with a grease crayon. And basically, applying a layer of ink over the drawing, that gets transferred to a sheet of paper, and we can print multiples in there, anywhere from 2 to 250. The aluminum plates that we've been using for lithography, they're much more portable. The stones, the small stones, are about 25 pounds, so you're not going to be lugging those around. But the aluminum plates are a very, very thin sheet of aluminum that are portable. And it's the same idea. It's slightly different chemical process, but same idea, a planographic method. So we're printing on the surface. Relief printing would be doing the wood carving, wood cuts, maybe using the laser engraver as well to create an image. But again, it's a planographic method where we're applying ink on the surface of the block and paper on top of that to pull the ink off the surface.
That was a 1 or 2 minute breakdown of your entire class.
That's right.
Except for teaching us how to do it. All right, do you enjoy this, Jim?
Yeah, actually this has been one of my favorite art classes I've taken here so far.
If people want to see your work and the work of other students, there's a little exhibit, isn't there, Matt?
That's right. It's at the Pella Community Center in the Joan Kuiper-Farver Gallery there, which is the sort of the foyer area before you go into the theater. And it's a small little gallery space. Jeb has some work in there, and Shelby Palm as well, two lithographs. And then I have some other students who have got drawings, an alternative drawing tool or medium project where a student drew with lipstick and literally kissed the paper to create the image on there. So a wide range of pieces, and some are quite large, about 4 foot by 4 foot.
Tell us a little bit about this print here.
He gave us some prompts or words to work off of, and for this one I was focusing on near and far, and the man, I actually started out with the binoculars, and then I formed the man's face and features around it, and he's kind of looking out into like space, like the final frontier, like it's far away, but yet it's also like close, I guess, on the image at least. And then to kind of tie it in, it's almost as if he's looking at space, you know, past these mountains, but the space has kind of been transferred onto his like consciousness, I guess. The river is kind of like the flow of his consciousness, and my friends thought he kind of looked like an alien because he's got like the third eye on his forehead.
Well, and yeah. He's got this curled mustache, and with the binoculars, it's sort of steampunkish, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. That's actually fun. On the sketch, he had like a uniform on, but when I was putting it on the plate, I had to cut that out because of the way I had started drawing it. So.
Well, and you have different paper here. I must say that, in my opinion, mm-hmm. this. Beige, is that what I call it? Is that what it's called?
It's like beige or cream.
Boy, that really makes it, cream. Like it really makes it rich and pop out more than the whites do.
Yeah.
I mean, is that...
No, I agree.
Do you agree?
Yeah, this is actually the first one I've used like a cream on. I'd only used white on my other prints. So I actually kind of like how it turns out because it looks like an old photograph. almost.
That's part of the fun of prints, isn't it? That no two are exactly alike, even though they're run off the same thing?
Yeah.
They're printed by hand, not by a machine. Now, we're using a machine, a tool, but it's not a mechanical, consistent process. We ink it up by hand, so whatever flaws we happen to run into along the way because of that's the way we forgot to roll something up or something like that, it's always a little different. And that's one of printmaking's greatest strengths and also its greatest weakness is there are so many different things you can do at any stage of the process. You could change the print, the color of the ink that you're printing with. You can change the paper color. You could edit this while you're printing. You could decide to lighten the pressure to lighten up the whole thing. But that also means that there are so many other things that can go wrong on there. So usually you have to be kind of flexible when you print it. Say, yeah, that's close enough, or you know, this is pretty good. I do enjoy the process, largely because you can make changes any step of the way and push an image to the nth degree. You can constantly rework a piece. Open the stone back up so it's receptive to drawing again, print it again, scratch back into it. No, it's really wonderful.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Professor Matt Kelly and a few of his students at Central College. Well, ladies, could you first share your names?
My name is Josie Ewell.
Jenny Moret.
Cheryl Wells.
And you also have some of your work displayed at the gallery.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you do?
Mine was in drawing and painting, too, and it was just our very first project, just kind of a springboard. We were supposed to pick an object and then just create a drawing. Is that correct? It was a while ago at the beginning of the semester. That drawing for me took on a lot of forms, different phases, and I had never really done that in drawing before, and I'd cover up and erase and come back over. I usually would just go from stage to stage and not go work backwards. So that was a new experience for me within that piece.
Well, and can you just sort of paint us a verbal picture of what
so
you're looking
it's,
for?
It's pretty, it's got a lot of, I use charcoal, so it's really black. There's a lot of black in it. There's a big spiraling, someone would almost describe it as a vortex, and there's these little spiderly tentacles, things that look like little eyeballs, and it's kind of got a diagonal across.
Okay, so it's abstract?
Mm-hmm.
So what were you trying to convey? I got a chance to look at it. What were you trying to convey? What did you want me to feel or think about?
We usually work that way within our drawing pieces. We usually have a title or some type of thing that we're going after. But with this one, we just started drawing, and then after we were done, we sat back and looked at it. It's like, what is this saying? So I guess the process for you of figuring out what it's going to say, it was the same for me. So you just come upon a creation and then try to figure out what it is.
Well, that's an interesting way to do it. I'm sure it's very common, but rather than having a set goal and trying to reach that goal, you start with no goal and find out where you go. Is that it?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, well, so we started out, we've talked before about you have the guidelines that you're working within and coming up with, like Josie said, a title first, and then we try and shape it to that. But oftentimes that can put blinders on as well. And so you try and force the drawing to conform to this one idea when the drawing is actually taking in a different direction. So changing that a little bit, saying, here, start with this. The project was titled In Depth. You have the one object, look at it, different points of view, compose something from that, and then see what the drawing tells you where that should go, and then come up with a title after that. So when you run into that situation where it's like, I don't know what I'm going to draw, what it's going to be about, you just start drawing or start painting or whatever it is. Then let the drawing tell you what the title should be or the content should be, and then you can shape it after that. So there isn't one right way of doing that, but I want to show the different approaches that folks can take with it.
And can you give us a verbal picture of yours?
I have two there. One of them is of a woman who kind of looks like she's decaying, and she's in like this trance type space. The background is red and black, and it's very wispy. There's like a lot of lines and movement. That one's titled Mortality. That was for our Conceal and Reveal project, and so I just kind of ran with it. I was just thinking about the moment that you realize that nothing is forever, and just kind of went with it. The second one is titled Pro, and it's of a Springfield 1911 gun made out of me kissing the paper with lipstick. That was for the alternative drawing medium. And
it's alternative, all right.
Yes. I have a lot of lipstick at home, and I was like, I'm not really wearing it all that often, so I might as well use it. And so I had no idea what to do for content. I was trying not to be super obvious by doing like a woman or something really feminine. And a gun just popped into my mind. And it kind of came from a political standpoint because a lot of people aren't pro-gun. And I am, so it just kind of worked with me, I guess. A lot of times there's like a battle with feminists and guns, so that's where the lipstick and the gun kind of came in together.
So you're messing with people's minds.
A little bit, yeah. That's what I typically do.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Professor Matt Kelly and a few of his students at Central College.
And how about yours?
Mine is a drawing that I made for 2D problem solving. It's a black, white, and gray design. It's titled Cacophony. And when I was making it, I kind of made it in pieces and then put them all together. And I kind of pictured like a fifth grade band room, like warming up as the cacophony sound that I was trying to draw. And I don't really know why I chose cacophony from the set of words that you gave us, but it's just kind of, it was unique, and it was like a word that I hadn't really played around with before, so it was really fun.
So what was the best part about it for each of you?
For me, it was that new experience, going back, working in a way that I hadn't worked before. So discovering that, and that I could do that and it still works out all right, because you do something and it's not what you want or it's terrible, and you kind of get that tense feeling, but then you work through it and keep going that way. So working backwards and then coming back was what I liked best about it.
And what did you like the best?
Probably that it pushed me really hard. I'm very like organized in the way I do art. I like to plan. I like to know what I'm doing. I like to be comfortable with the materials that I'm using. And the mortality one, I don't draw faces all that much, so I just kind of whipped that out of nowhere, which was new. And then the lipstick one, I've never used lipstick as a painting or drawing method, so that was new and exciting.
I bet not a lot of people have.
Not very many, no. Some, but not
some
very
little
many.
Girls on walls in their mom's purse.
Oh, yeah.
And you? What did you learn? What did you have fun with?
I really just liked putting all of those abstract shapes together, and then just kind of the relief of like the final result kind of working together as a whole. So yeah, that's my favorite part. It's just being able to look at it and finish, and you're just like, ah, that sigh of relief.
Well, as we sit here and talk, I know that the National Endowment for the Arts, for the Humanities, is on the chopping block. We don't really know what's going to happen. But as I sit here and listen to the young people here, I see that the art that they're doing is making them think, expanding their creativity, and making them think in different ways they've never thought about before. Mm-hmm. Is that transferable to the business world, to science, to industry?
I think it absolutely is. It's the part of the reason I've set up a few of those assignments, and the way they're set up is to challenge folks to think about this in a different way. I really have enjoyed a little bit of reading I've done with Rudolf Arnheim's book, Visual Thinking, and as he approaches this as art making is a way of thinking, that you're trying to interact with the world through art and its way of processing ideas, rather than simply writing it down or something like that, or mediums that we're used to. So going with that is important. Reading the book A Whack on the Side of the Head by Roger Von Eck, he talks about creativity and the way he approaches business and tries to get those folks to think in creative ways. And he is able to delineate, here are these contexts that prevent us from thinking in a different way or approaching it in a different way, and trying to do the same kind of thing in these assignments. You look at contemporary art, there are artists out there that are using non-traditional materials. Vic Muniz is using chocolate syrup and thread and things to create these images. You know, he's been doing that for a while. And myself and students are used to using traditional materials, but what about those non-traditional materials? You know, why would we use those? And part of it is you'd use those because of the unique mark that they make, that the material itself can say something beyond the content you impose on your image. You know, if you're using lipstick, for example, and drawing an image of a pistol on there, you know, the material itself is making a statement, you know, without it all being imposed just by the imagery that you're using.
If you had our senators and representatives mm-hmm. sitting right here and they're considering zeroing out those budgets and actually school budgets mm-hmm. for the arts, what do you want to tell them?
I want to stress that creativity is important, and it's creativity not just in art and music and theater, it's all of that, but also in other areas, and that we need to support that as much as possible, because it is transferable everywhere else. I mean, I think the business world really understands that as well. They do understand creativity, how important it is. But again, we set up our own sort of pigeonholes or our boxes, these different contexts where we say it's creativity in business is this, creativity in art is this. And it's not. It does cross all those borders in there. So as much as we can challenge ourselves to think and work in ways that we're not comfortable with or not familiar with, I think is vastly important. Developing a sense of empathy, I think, is one of the things that's, for me, it's one of the things that I'd see that's most troubling is kind of a lack of empathy, or it's diminishing a little bit. And I want to encourage more of that.
Thanks to Matt Kelly and his students for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.